Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to the Gaming Uncensored Roundtable for November. And we're 2 weeks late, and we apologize for that, but we're here. We're calling it the Better Late Than Never Roundtable, and so here we are on this week's show. Of course, I'm Tommy, and Jamie's sitting over there. How you doing, Jamie?
What is up, y'all?
We are also joined on this month's roundtable by our boy Josh. What's up, Josh?
Hey, it's great to be here.
And by our boy Spider. What's up, Spider?
Not much.
I think Spider gets the consistency award. He has been on just about every single roundtable.
Yeah, yes.
I'm very impressed by that.
Is there a trophy or prize or anything associated with that?
We could probably get you a free game.
Sweet. Yeah, we've got tons of free games. Yeah. Hey, we'll give you a free game, Spider. That seems like a good deal. Congratulations.
Because I don't already have 150 in my backlog.
Right. We'll just add to it. One more. So the topic for this month's roundtable comes to us from our boy Josh, who we're glad is here to participate with it, which is cliche enough, and we love it, our games of the year, because it's the last roundtable of the year, theoretically. We might squeeze in one more. We do have December still, I suppose. We'll see what happens. Either way, we're doing our games of the year on this roundtable, assuming they're probably not going to change much. And so I'm pumped about that. I think it'll be a fun discussion. And so, Josh, since you came up with the idea, we're going to let you go first.
All right. Yeah, I suggested the idea, and then I sat down and I thought, all right, I better actually go through and check what my games for this year were, and it's depressingly small. But even worse is that most of the games I played this year were actually not even released this year. So
yeah,
that said,
I'm in that same boat.
Yeah, I mean, it's good because I've cleared out a bit of the backlog. But no, look, I did actually find quite a few good games that were released this year. The number one that I came up with was a surprise for me. I've never played a game in this series before. I picked this one up and I absolutely loved it. And it was Ghost Recon Wildlands. So for those that don't know, it's a Ghost Recon game. It's squad based, tactical, but it's open world, set in Bolivia. And yeah, the world is just incredible, and the way you can approach missions, and I mean, the story is it's cheesy as hell, don't get me wrong, but yeah, I've absolutely loved playing Ghost Recon Wildlands this year, so that would probably be my number one game for this year.
Did you ever play any of the multiplayer and get totally serious with your friends like they did at the E3 press conference?
I did play multiplayer, but it was only with friends, so I don't think we ever got that serious.
Those guys were way into it. It was like, well, we're going to be a squad. We know what we're doing. And like every time I see that commercial for the new Call of Duty, I think about I think about that E3 conference because, you know, the new commercial for the new Call of Duty is you got to get your squad back together. And every time I see it, I'm like, yeah, Tommy and I don't have that many friends. Like, we just don't.
Yeah. That is completely true. So you probably don't have a great answer to this since it's the only one that you've played in the series. But so they had a free weekend of Wildlands on Steam a couple weeks back or sometime. And I picked it up for that weekend and played it. I really enjoyed it. I just haven't had time to actually play it anymore. But I've always liked the series. It feels like it doesn't take itself too seriously. Am I right in that read of it, that it does feel maybe just a little goofy or over the top?
I think that's a great assessment. I mean, it's not explicitly comedic, but they definitely don't take themselves too seriously. Even the banter, you know, the banter between the squad mates as you're playing, it's very much sort of, you know, trying to poke fun at, different, gaming tropes and that sort of, bro lingo and all this sort of thing. It's way over the top in many areas, and it doesn't take itself too seriously. So, I think that helps a lot, yeah.
It reminded me a little bit of playing Just Cause, where Just Cause, I think, is more over the top. I don't know if you've played that. It had a similar feel to me that Just Cause is, which is, to me, at least a departure from what Ghost Recon has been in the past. I remember it being a very, serious kind of tactical shooter. And then I played this one. I was like, oh, wow, this is a lot different. Like, it kind of shooter plays the same as Ghost Recon, but just the kind of vibe of the game was just cool. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. It just didn't feel super Ghost Recon-y to me.
It's very flexible. Like, you can approach many. I think that's probably it applies. It's suitable for many different play styles because you can. I felt that a lot of the missions really can. If you really want to, you can approach it from a highly tactical, stealthy sort of manner. But if you just if you're just in the mood, you get home from work one day and just like, screw it, I just want to blow some stuff up. You can go in guns blazing and just go nuts. And it's pretty flexible. It's a lot of fun.
Did you play it mostly multiplayer, or did you play a lot of single player? How's the single player campaign on it?
Yeah, I've mostly played single player, just because I was playing at weird hours and whatnot. But the single player campaign was. It was interesting enough to keep you playing and wanting to sort of explore more of the areas. I wouldn't say it's story driven. It wasn't so much the story that was giving me motivation to push through. It was more, hey, that was really fun. All right, cool. I've just gone, there's this new person in this new area. Cool. I really want to explore this new area and see what missions are there. I did play a bit of multiplayer as well with some friends of mine, and it's pretty good because the multiplayer, it's sort of seamless, so it's the same world with the same missions, but you can just sort of seamlessly say, all right, I want to play this mission with some friends now, and then the friends will jump in and do the mission with you, and then they can leave, and then it's still the same persistent world and game save and all that sort of thing, so that was pretty neat.
I think it must have that drop in, drop out thing that was a big deal a couple of years ago. You're playing single player and then your friends drop in and they're there and then they leave and
it's absolutely seamless. It works well.
Nice. Spider, what about you?
Did we lose him?
Uh-oh.
No, Spider, I'm here. Sorry. Are
you muted? Okay.
Mute?
Yeah.
All right.
I just don't want you to ruffling through boxes and tearing them apart while I'm doing spring cleaning, or I guess winter cleaning. So my game I'd have to say Horizon Zero Dawn was my game of the year. I have to say I did not buy a Switch, so I have no context for whether Zelda would oust it or not. But out of everything that I played, that one definitely did it for me. I just love the setting. I mean, I did from the moment I saw the E3 trailer. It just totally stood out to me. And I just said, yeah, as long as the gameplay is good, that game's for me. Because I just love the aesthetic. And I ended up just loving all of the gameplay mechanics that are in it. And I haven't picked up Frozen Wilds yet, just because, again, backlog. So I was playing through other stuff while I was waiting for that to come out, but I'll probably pick that up pretty soon in the next few months here.
Yeah, that's sadly one I haven't finished yet. I haven't played through even enough to have considered it for this list, which is a bummer.
I'm gonna put it on the list because I feel like we've seen enough of it that I can say it's one of the best games of the year, but you're right. We've got a lot more to see of that.
Yeah, I think it might end up being my number two. It's not yet because I haven't played enough of it. That's my only thing with it. But I love it. Exactly what Spider said. The aesthetic of it is so cool. That world is so cool. And it's really, it's just sad that I haven't had a chance to play it. And like about, and I say that I've been playing other games in the past month or
Mario
so,
stole your soul. Like
Mario. Yeah. Mario ended Horizon for a while and then I just haven't picked it back up yet. And so, yeah, it's a super cool title though, and but we're gonna get back to it, and we'll play the Frozen Wilds as well because it's I think it's gonna it's gonna own us when we let it own us. It's just not there yet. So
I'm in a similar boat actually. Yeah, it's one of the games I really wanted to play this year. I haven't got around to it. I'm hoping it'll be on. You know, maybe I'll pick it up over a sale over Christmas, New Year, and I've got some vacation time, so I'll try to play some then.
Yeah.
I also played through Wildlands and really enjoyed it as well, but I only played single player. I did zero multiplayer with that. But yeah, that gave me a lot of enjoyment too.
I mean, I like that both Doom's... of y'all.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I like that both of y'all speak highly of Wildlands, playing it predominantly single player. That was my biggest fear of it, is that the single player wouldn't be that much fun, that you really had to have it multiplayer. So I'm encouraged. Yeah,
I mean,
that.
It's. It's buggy as hell as any Ubisoft game is, where there's all sorts of fun clipping issues or and some things they do. I understand for convenience sake, like if you take off in a helicopter and your guys aren't jumping on in time, then once you get far enough away, they all of a sudden just appear on the helicopter and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's stuff that, you know, if you look at it as a not video game, there's a lot of goofy things in it, but the gameplay is really fun and solid, and there's a ton doing that. I was also going to say, I just finished Dragon Quest Builders and really enjoyed that. That's probably, might be number two, but that didn't come out this year. It came out, I think it was December last year, so it was almost a 2017 game, but I just barely picked that up in a sale at Target last month.
We've got to allow some overlap there.
you almost said it, Spider, but I'm curious of your thoughts on Doom, because everybody that I know that has played Doom says it's awesome and you got to play it. I have it. That's on my list to play. I just haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, that thing's amazing. So when I got Ghost Recon Wildlands with my new video card, and then that was the next game I went to was Doom, because I knew that that would be the perfect test for it. And it was, I'm just amazed at how seamless, like, especially in comparison to Wildlands, which I had trouble getting 60 frames per second at that. Doom, I can run flawlessly at like 144 frames per second, and it's glorious and super smooth and everything. So it's a technical marvel, as well as being really fun to play. The biggest mechanic is, like, if you hide, you're going to die. Like, you have to keep fighting because as you kill enemies, they give you back life and shield. And so there's an incentive to go out and just keep trying to stay alive rather than going and hiding in a corner and waiting for your health to come back, because that will not happen.
And that's kind of my thing with this. That's kind of why I've been afraid of it, because the thing is fast and it's twitchy. And I've got no reflexes.
Right.
So I'm going to die.
From what I understand, the easy mode makes it like, I mean, you shouldn't. I haven't tried it, but from other people trying it and telling me how it went, it was pretty simple for them. Like, so that may be your ticket in.
Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll start on normal, and if it's miserable, then I'll downgrade. I'm not to the point in gaming yet where it's like, as long as I host the show, I don't really feel like I can start anything on easy mode. like I'm gonna have some sort of credibility. I got, like, if I start on normal and downgrade, that's one thing. But I try real hard not to play anything on easy. But I may have to do that with Doom, because it's fast.
Yeah. We played the demo of that during E3 last year, and it was super sweet. And I haven't picked it up either, which is a shame. So yeah, that's one we need to play. for sure. I'll mention two really quick that, well, the first one I don't think is going to surprise anyone. I'll be the one that does it. my best game of the year was Zelda. I love the thing. It's one of my favorite games of all time. It's really, really great. And new DLC is officially out now, which I'm also super
pumped. Do we have it yet?
We don't have it yet. I mean, okay. We don't have it downloaded yet. We have it purchased. So all I have to do is download it. But that's in my and some different plans for whenever I'm in town. I would imagine that will be our gaming time. So I'm actually going to hold off on it till we're sitting together in the same room to play that.
I have a big stupid smile on my face. I can't wait. I cannot wait. Like,
yeah.
Like, we've been away from it for like 3 months, and it's like, wow, can we just get back to that, please?
Yeah, it's absolutely that kind of game that as long as they put content out for it, I'll keep going back to it because the world is great, the mechanics are great, it feels good, it plays good, it's fun, it has a good story. It's not the best story of all time, but it's a very Zelda story, and so it checks a lot of boxes. But for my second one, it may be a bit more of a surprise, probably not for everybody that's listened to the show, but my second favorite game of the year was Cuphead. I love that thing. It was a blast. It was ridiculously hard, but it's so stinking pretty, and it's just a fun arcadey type game in an era when the kind of arcadey type games for the most part don't work well. It worked well, and part of that was the novelty of it. But I think Cuphead, just as far as like execution of a game, may be the best game that I've seen in a long time. Just the sheer kind of polish on that. There wasn't a single thing about it that was like, oh, that's kind of buggy, or it feels weighted wrong, or anything like that. It just felt like a wonderfully put together game, and is gorgeous to boot. So, yeah, those are my two big ones.
Well, this is going to be fun, because everything on my list you have played. I have not put my hands on. Okay, which is a weird place to be, but thanks to YouTube and all of the different avenues that we have out there, you and I have started gaming in a different way, and I really like it because it allows me to watch through some things that I wouldn't see otherwise. And I'm not a guy, and maybe this is weird, maybe I'm a snob, but I'm not a guy that goes to YouTube and would watch somebody else other than Tommy for, you know, 20, 30 hours playing game. I'm just not going to. I know, I've been around him long enough to know how he does things and how he plays and how he approaches things. And it really has changed the way that it's changed prep for this show. So my game of the year is also Zelda, even though I've never actually put my hands on it, just because it's perfect. I other than the lack of voice, it's fairly flawless, and it just, I don't know if I can say anything about it that we haven't already said. It does things that no other game has done in 20 years or so. Like, it's captivating. It's one of those things that I'm looking at other games now. Like Horizon, for example. I love Horizon. I think Horizon's a great game. But when we're playing Horizon or we're playing some other game, and even when I'm playing some on the PC, like a character jumping is a great example. I'm thinking this would work a whole lot better if they did it like Zelda did it. Like, Horizon's a great example because you're forever trying to get up on the ledge in Horizon and she just won't get there because she can't climb. And it's the most annoying thing. And like, at this point, I'm a real snob, because it's like, if I'm playing something and I can't get somewhere that I feel like I should be able to get, I automatically think in my brain, if this was Zelda, I wouldn't have this issue. I could climb up that freaking mountain. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense at all?
Yeah.
Do you do that in real life too, Jamie?
Yes. Yes, I do. I think to myself, if I just had a freaking Master Sword, we'd be in a whole lot better shape.
I was going to say, I think the watching game things, we call that the handicap guy pass. So we'll give that to you.
Okay, fair enough. Because I really do hate it. Like, I really do hate that that's the way we have to do things. But I'm telling you, I am not using that controller. There's no way. Like, my hands would not use that controller ever. But it really has changed the way we play games. Zelda is probably my game of the year. But yeah, I'm gonna take. Give me 1 second, then I'll let you jump in there, sir. I'm going to take this opportunity, because both of you guys mentioned that a lot of the games that you played this year didn't actually come out in 2017. And one that I have played and been playing that is on the level with Zelda, not necessarily in story or environment, but gameplay-wise, is Deus Ex Mankind Divided. And if Cavage were here, he would back me up, because I've been telling you guys for 6 months, you gotta play that. And he got tired of listening to me, and he picked it up. And I've been getting random texts at like 12:30 at night that are like, man, this game's good. You know, from Cabbage. And it really is that good. And it's not a 2017 game. It was a 2016 game. But the gameplay is almost perfect. So that's one that I've been playing a lot of from 2016 that is just really, really great. Now you can go, Tommy.
Yeah, I had a point for the other thing that I don't remember what it was, but that's a good point. I'll mention one that's on my list of my favorite games I played this year that came out last year, which is Dishonored 2, which was fantastic, and I played it over the summer this year. Which there is also standalone expansion content for that as well out there. Also, Uncharted content out there that I haven't played yet, which it just seems sacrilegious, but it's there, and so. It's just the era of gaming when there's way too much crap to play.
Yeah. Did you play the first Dishonored, Tommy?
Yes.
Yes.
We both did.
Which, so compare those two for, because I haven't played two and I haven't purchased it yet. And because obviously backlog, but what are the things that are different between the two? Did you like one more than the other? Is it pretty even?
Yeah. It's pretty even. I really enjoyed them both. So the big difference was in Dishonored 2, I chose to play as Emily, not as Corvo. And so that changes the experience, I would think, at least in a somewhat drastic way of kind of how the game unfolds. At least I would imagine making it feel more different than if you choose to play as Corvo for Dishonored 2. I really enjoyed that. I liked the kind of different perspective, the different character to kind of see her backstory a little bit, and just how she interacted with the world, which I felt made me play the game differently probably than I would have if I would have chosen him to be the protagonist. And so I actually like that mechanic of the game a lot. I just haven't gone back and played it the other way. But they
play very
similarly.
Do you think you will, or just to see how different
like
it is?
To?
He won't, because that's not what he doesn't go back. But
Right. And especially when we're sitting here talking about all these other games that I need to play. Like, if I didn't have this crazy backlog, I'd be a lot more tempted. What I'm more likely to do is pick up the expansion and play that, then go back and play as Corvo, as much as I would enjoy it. I don't remember. I feel like Dishonored 2 was at least a noticeable bit longer, a significant bit longer. It could just be that it's been so long since I played the original, but I played most of Dishonored 1 in like one day. Like, I sat down and started playing in the morning and it just sucked me in, and I played through most of the game in one day. I don't feel like I could have done that with Dishonored 2, where I definitely didn't do that, but I feel like
it's a lot longer.
I feel like that, but I'm not sure. It may just have been how I played them differently because I got so immersed in the first one. Not to say that, like, that's a knock on the second one. It's just I had a free day, which is a rare thing when I picked up the first one, which I never had while I was playing the second one. So I played it a couple hours at a time in the evenings after work and that kind of stuff. But I loved it. It's fantastic. The abilities in it are super cool. It's really what makes the game, is kind of different abilities and how you approach the world with that. And so the level where you go back and forth in time, that has the little like mirror thing where you can see into the other time period and you can teleport back and forth, is super fun. Like, just it scratches that kind of puzzle solving itch that I have. I love puzzle games, and so I play all kinds of puzzle games, and so it very much brought that puzzle solving element into Dishonored in a new cool way. Dishonored already has a good chunk of that, but in a different way that I really, really enjoyed. And so of anything in either of the two games that would maybe put one over the top, I think it's that one level in Dishonored 2 that would probably say for me that I enjoyed Dishonored 2 more at the end of the day.
Do you know if the expansion has Emily content in it too? Or is it just Corvo?
I think it's all Billy.
Yeah, it's all Billy. I don't think it has either.
So it's a new character.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Okay, who's in the other ones ish?
Okay.
Kind of. Yeah. But it's a different character. So playing that, it would be the third player character that I would play as in the Dishonored world, which would also be cool. Like I said, I really dug that about the second one, where I approached that one way more stealthy and didn't kill nearly as many people, where I feel like with Billy as a character, I'm just going to want to kill people, you know? And so, like, I feel like I'll play that one differently too, because I feel like that character has a different personality, and I feel like that shapes a little bit of how I play those kind of games. So,
okay. Yeah. Without getting too spoilery, is it, cause there's a twist to the first game, where like the mechanics play out differently based on your actions at the end of the game. Is there the same sort of thing in the second one, or did they kind of do away with that or go a different route?
Yeah, there is a like big branch at the end, which I took one option. I don't know what happens if you take the other option. And so kind of a, you get to choose how you want the game to end. I'm assuming at least how it's presented. Again, I didn't take the other option, right, so I'm not exactly sure what happens on the other option. But there is, I feel like, a kind of that branching thing on it. So to me, it felt like there was only one sensible choice to make there. So I did the one that probably everybody else does. So it's like when you play The Walking Dead and you get to the end of a Walking Dead episode, that it shows you the percentages of like who made that choice. I feel like that choice at the end of Dishonored would be like 89% of people did the same thing. It's kind of like, yeah, I've put this much time into the game, this is the choice that I'm most likely going to make. So gotcha. I don't know if it's a big, like, gut-wrenching, twisty branching thing, but it is in there. Something. So there is some good spoilery stuff. There's some good twists to it.
There's kind of a split like that in Dragon Quest Builders, believe it or not, at the end, but it's pretty, I mean, like, because the Dragon Lord asks you if you want to rule the world with him, and you can say yes, and then he's like, are you really sure? And you say yes again, and then the game just ends and takes you back to the game over screen, and it's like, well, okay, that was dumb. So not quite the you know, shocking split decision option that you have there.
Fair enough. Yeah.
I know this is supposed to be a short show, but since we're talking about this stuff, can we talk about Nintendo for a minute?
Sure.
Do these two guys have, Josh, do you have a Switch?
I don't have a Switch yet, no.
All right. I went the NES Classic route. That's what I've been.
All right, so.
If I can nominate the NES Classic as my game of the year, because there's 18 amazing games in there, then I will do that.
Well, then you should do that, because what I was gonna bring up is 2017 the year of Nintendo, because I would say that Zelda is my game of the year, but we literally just finished Mario, and Mario is really, really freaking good. It's not game of the year, but it's really, really good. I mean, like, system selling good. It's good. And so I'm wondering if 2017 somehow sneakily became the year of Nintendo.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's that sneaky. Like, I think Nintendo just kind of owned it. Like, the fact that they put out Breath of the Wild with the Switch is the biggest game changer of the year, I think. The biggest, like, this impacted the gaming industry more than anything else. The fact that the best game of the year by most outlets, and we'll talk about that briefly here in just a second as well, but the best game of the year was a launch title, which that doesn't happen very often. So the fact that Nintendo had this massively successful game to back the launch was a huge deal.
But they sold more copies of Breath of the Wild than they did Switches.
Yeah.
There were multiple copies. I don't know if they had two houses and they wanted to keep one in each or what the deal was with that. Apparently more copies of the game got sold than Switches.
Yeah. But my guess is that people were ordering the game, trying to get a hold of a Switch when they couldn't. And so they had the game before the consoles were available. It's the craziest statistic, though, that the game was outselling the console, that more people owned a copy of the game. So,
well, part of the reason I wanted to bring this up is because Spider nominated the SNES Classic, and if you take the Switch into account, and then you take that, Nintendo had a really good year.
Yeah, I mean, and 2DS is like all over everything right now. I'm seeing ads for the 2DS everywhere. Like, they're really pushing that. They just put out a new Metroid game, for crying out loud. Like, yeah, Nintendo had a big year. They wanted to make sure people knew they were still around. And we have Nintendo on mobile devices now with Mario that was successful, even though not financially as successful as Nintendo wanted. They just put out Animal Crossing on the phone. Of course, Pokemon Go is out there. And just, you know, like, Nintendo's here in a big way. Like, yeah, Nintendo is incredibly relevant in the gaming universe again, where the past few years they were not nearly as relevant. They weren't gone, but they weren't nearly the power they are right now. It's a big deal. Like, people still want to Switch. That's going to be the, like, one of the, if not the big Christmas gift of this holiday season, is people getting a Switch. And so, yeah, Nintendo's doing well.
Yeah, and I want to bring up one more. Because I wonder if Josh or Spider is playing it. I made the mistake of firing up Mass Effect Andromeda, which was a 2017 title. And I just want to mention that I went through character creation, and I didn't like any of them. And I was playing Mass Effect last night, and I realized that my version of Ryder looks like Toby from The Office. I have just a little bit of video that I recorded, but seriously, he does. He looks like Toby from The Office. He has the hair and everything else. And like, it's the weirdest thing. Every time that he talks last night, I just started laughing because I didn't really realize till last night, but it's like I'm playing with Toby from The Office. Spider, have you played that at all? Or if you had a chance to look at that?
I have not. I'm actually, I have all the Mass Effect games except for Andromeda in my Steam library, and so, and I started the first one like several years ago, and something else derailed me from continuing in it.
Oh, well, definitely play those before you play Andromeda, because Andromeda ain't as good as those. But
yeah, that was I wanted to like Andromeda. I haven't got around to even starting it yet, but I don't know, it just rubbed me the wrong way. I didn't think they spent three games building up this entire wonderful galaxy of, you know, stories and lore and races, and then the second game they're just like, we're gonna go to a whole new galaxy. It's like, why? Why do you have to go to a new galaxy when you have this entire world you've already spent years creating for us?
Well, so. And that was my thing that I wanted to talk about it for a second, because I've been, for the last 10 hours or something, I've been trying to figure out why they went. Because I'm like, I saved the world. Like, I saved the universe. We survived the Reapers. Like, I don't understand. Why did we go to Andromeda?
Maybe we could come up with like some lore whereby, I don't know, you know, Michael Scott like him, you know, banished Toby Flenderson from the galaxy, so he had to leave and go to Andromeda.
Seriously, I have about an hour of Andromeda recorded that I've been debating on whether to put it up or not, because I was going to record all of Andromeda, and then I realized it was probably really, really boring to watch, because there's lots of conversations and you're doing a lot of talking to people, because that's Mass Effect. And so I just stopped recording. Because it's not really that exciting to watch, I don't think. But I do have a little bit of it, and I swear to you guys, it's Toby from The Office.
Yeah. I want to see the Toby character. That'd be great.
Yeah, you need to find the Super Tramp cover that Michael does on The Office when Toby's leaving the goodbye, Toby, and just loop that behind it the whole time.
that would be really funny. I'm gonna work on putting that up this week, because I have about an hour of the very beginning of the game, and I swear my version of Ryder is Toby Flenderson, which is really weird.
That's
but
phenomenal.
I want to, since we're on that, Tommy, I have to ask you before we wrap up. I know you've only put about 10 hours into it, but Andromeda so far to me is really confusing. Like, I'm on the first planet, and I have like 18 different waypoints. Right. And it's like, go here, and I'm like, I'm like standing in a building, and it's beeping at me, because when you get close to one of the things that you're supposed to do, it beeps.
Yeah.
And so I'm standing in the building trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do to get it to stop beeping, and I wondered if you had the same problem.
Yeah, it very much, I think I've mentioned this before, but it just doesn't have a great deal of polish to it. Like, it feels like it was, you know, like a much more unexperienced team that put it together or something. I was thinking when you were talking about kind of how it ties in, and Josh was talking about the previous games, that they really should have branded this one much more as like a spinoff or something like that, as opposed to making it Mass Effect Andromeda, that feels like it should be, you know, in a way a continuation of the trilogy. It doesn't feel like that at all. Like, it just doesn't feel like Mass Effect. I dig the story, the concept of the story. Like, it's kind of a sci-fi trope right now, this idea of going to inhabit new worlds because your world is being destroyed or crumbling whatever it is. And so that's kind of the mechanic behind the storyline of it. That's cool. Like I dig that, and I can get encapsulated by that. The gameplay just feels kind of meh. It just, like, it's not bad. It's just not.
It's not.
It's not the effect of it's not the expectation of Mass Effect. Like, a lot of of what those games should be, and Andromeda is just not quite it. It's almost, you know, like if you kind of squint, it kind of looks like Mass Effect. It's just not quite there.
A lot of the gameplay elements that are in there were from 2 and 3, and that's fine. That's great. But you're right. It's not quite Mass Effect.
Which I am bummed that we're having this conversation and Mass Effect hasn't really been a part of this conversation. You know, like I would have at least liked for us to go, oh yeah, and Mass Effect was really good. It's not one of the best, but and instead it's, oh, Mass Effect came out this year and it's all right. You know, like it just, I want that to be a big deal, and it's just not.
That's why I'm playing it. And the only reason I'm playing it, I have to mention this because EA might have done a good thing, and I was going to wait till the next show. But since we're here, we'll just talk about it. Tommy's been making fun of me for 2 weeks because I bit the bullet. But I went to purchase Mass Effect and realized that it was $20 and got to looking and did a little research and found out that if you pay for a year of Origin Access instead of month to month, you pay for the annual, it's $31. And I'm like, okay, you get all of those games for $31 for an entire year. That's stupid. I got to do that. So I did, and I haven't regretted it for 1 second. And
yeah,
like, as bad as that game is, I don't have a problem with the way I got it.
Yeah. Once you sent me that, I went home and signed up nearly immediately. I was at a family reunion because it was over Thanksgiving when you sent me that. I was like, oh wow, that's actually a really good deal. And so I did it too. And I've played about an hour worth of Battlefield 1. That was the first game that I downloaded off of. But the fact that Battlefield 1 is on the service, it doesn't have the brand new releases, but Battlefield 1 hasn't been out all that long. And so, yeah, it's a pretty good deal. Games as a service, man. That's where we're going.
By the way, like I said, guys, if you don't know, because they don't advertise it, they really should. If you pay annually, it's half price. So instead of
was that a deal or is that the normal price?
No, that's normal. I literally just stumbled onto it. Like I was going to buy Mass Effect, and it was like $4.99 if you buy Origin Access, but if you pay for a year, it's half that. And I was like, well, crap.
Yeah,
you know,
gotta
that's
do that.
Stupid. Sure. So I did. Yeah. And that's a really good deal. If I don't feel real bad about the fact that I'm playing Mass Effect that's kind of iffy because I have access to Titanfall 2, which is really good.
Exactly.
And Battlefield 1, which is also really good. And The Sims 4. And there's all kinds of stuff on that thing.
It's a good deal. To finish up, let me ask, I'm just curious, did anybody watch the Game Awards that happened this week?
Did you really just ask that question?
I did. I'm really curious.
I didn't watch one single bit, sorry. Only I saw some like articles posted about some things that happened, but no, I didn't watch any of it.
Yeah. Spider?
No, I have not. I've been watching a lot of Giant Bomb stream of different various things, but I did not see the Game Awards.
Gotcha. I was curious. I didn't see a single bit of it either. In fact, the only thing I've watched is that the kind of montage of trailers, which shows none of the Game Awards, which I really enjoyed that because. But to be fair about the Game Awards, it was incredibly newsy. Like there was a bunch of stuff that came out of new Death Stranding trailer that was long, and that game is super weird. I don't get it even a little bit, but I'm interested. But they announced that the Zelda DLC was coming out that night with a trailer showing that there's a freaking motorcycle in it, by the way. So we're going to get to cruise
on
a motorcycle. Yeah, which is nuts. But a bunch of game announcements. There's a new a game coming from the I can't think of what the developer name is, the one that the developer that did Firewatch. They're doing one that's in like Campo pyramids and Campo Santo, that they're doing one in pyramids in Egypt, which is like looks like it plays a lot like Firewatch, but in this Egyptian kind of world and stuff. Like, just a lot of news came out during that award show that I was like, maybe I should have watched this, not for the award show aspect of it, but just because there's so much content. Like, it was a big content night. So anyway,
good I'd for say them instead of watching of it content. Just go like check a blog of the news that came out of it.
Exactly. Which is exactly what I did.
Or, you know, for us, it's like we'll just listen to a gaming podcast that hopefully read a blog about what happened.
And see, I have
true shit.
We've always talked about a guy that we went to school with that just thought that the Spike Video Game Awards were the coolest thing ever because they were hosted by Snoop Dogg. And this entire week, I had Troy in my head going, see, I told you it's cool. See, there's all this news. I told you it's cool. So, no.
It's definitely a very different thing than it used to be, for what it's worth. Again, still not something I'm going out of my way to watch, but I'll go through a couple of the award winners really quick. Game of the year was Zelda, and I don't think that's terribly shocking. Mario was also in that category, so two Nintendo games were nominated. PlayerUnknown Battlegrounds was also there, which is kind of impressive, and then Horizon and Persona 5. Best game direction was Zelda had a good night of this. Best narrative was a game called What Remains of Edith Finch. I have never heard of that until this, and it's apparently a kind of walking simulator is one of the tags on Steam. And so Cuphead was best art direction, which makes a lot of sense. Hellblade, Senua's, I don't know how you say that for sure. Senua's sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know how to say sacrifice. Sorry. won a couple of different awards.
Sorry, that just hit me.
Hey,
anyway,
I may not play a lot of video games, but I'm here because I'm entertaining. That's all.
It's fair.
Yeah,
I'll take it. But that game got a lot of praise and has been getting a lot of praise. And so the more I hear about it, also won, they had a category. Let me find it really quick. What they called the category: Games for Impact, for a thought provoking game with a profound pro social meaning or message. It also won in that category with the lead character, being, on the autism spectrum. And I don't know a lot of details about this game still, but it looks really interesting. And so it's on my short list now of things that I have to play. I hope it's on sale. On the Steam summer or winter sale,
it's on sale this week. It's not discounted enough, but it's on sale this week.
So that's one we definitely gotta pick up at some time. And so, but all in all, like, they did a good job of picking games that weren't stupid. Which once upon a time, they definitely picked games that were stupid. So, all that being said, I was just curious to who the audience is for that. I don't imagine it's our audience because we are not the audience for that. But it is Troy. I'm curious if Troy's still into that thing.
I don't know, but we need to find him and we need to get him on the show.
He lives in the same city I do, and I haven't seen him since we lived here. That's a shame. So
yeah,
we didn't reach out to him.
You need to get him over the house because that would be an interesting show. I would be afraid of what came out of his mouth, but
it would be fun.
Yeah.
Nobody knows who Troy is, and we've lost everybody now.
Yeah,
including the two guys that are sitting here with us on this podcast. Sorry, fellas.
No, we're still here. Promise.
You're talking all about that being said, of Troy, right?
That's right. Way to go, Spider. Following along. all that being said.
I have got a couple. If I can just, I know we have to finish up.
For sure.
I just got a couple more things. A couple of honorable mentions I did want to squeeze in.
Yeah, absolutely.
you did mention it before, but actually one of my top ones was actually Uncharted Lost Legacy, which was the standalone Uncharted sort of spin-off. If that was a full game, that probably would have been my game of the year. I absolutely loved that game. It's Uncharted. It was Uncharted 4. The world was absolutely just breathtaking, how beautiful the world that Naughty Dog creates. Except, you know, it was with Chloe. I missed Chloe from Uncharted 4, so it was great to be able to play as her. And yeah, that was a lot of fun, that game. Also, in the category of 2016 games that I didn't get to play until 2017, I'd like to throw in Mirror's Edge Catalyst. I know that's probably polarizing. It's sort of a niche appeal, but I loved the first Mirror's Edge, and Mirror's Edge Catalyst. It's transitioned to open world, but yeah, that was just beautiful, beautiful world, and the story. It's quite captivating as well. So
that's an interesting one, because I love the first Mirror's Edge too. I tried to play Catalyst, I just couldn't get into it. I honestly didn't spend much time with it.
Yeah,
how much more do I need to play?
I think it was one of those ones where it's sort of, I think like your expectations can sort of affect it. Because I was the same. Like I'll completely admit, when I first started playing Catalyst, it didn't grab me straight away. A little bit disappointed. I'm like, yeah, it's okay, but it's nothing spectacular. But the more I played it, I sort of got appreciated what it was, the different direction it was taking. And by the end of it, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Interesting. I'll have to go back. I honestly did not give it nearly enough time. I put a little bit into it, was like, yeah, it's not got me, and I moved on to something else and didn't think about it again. So that encourages me to go back and try it again, because I do want to like it, because I really enjoyed the first Mirror's Edge. I thought the first Mirror's Edge was a super cool game. So awesome.
Yeah.
Any other honorable mentions before we finish up, Spider? Any other ones you want to throw out there?
You're on mute again, dude.
Not that I can think of.
Fair enough. I'll also mention, I just started playing Civ 6 because it was on sale over Thanksgiving, and so I picked that up, which is also a game I believe came out last year. But just as that's one of my franchises that I play every iteration of and really enjoy, I'm really digging Civ 6. That's the game that's owned me the past couple of weeks or week and a half or so or whatever since I picked it up. So
I was going to say, I love when you get a new game on Steam, because you're on Steam all the time, but you're not actually there. And yeah, I wonder how many people from the show like send you messages like, hey, Tommy's here, and then you're not.
I really got to go through and check my messages, because you're 100% right. It's currently connected in the other room. Sitting there waiting for me to come back to it, because I just left it sitting there, because that's what I do with games. So yes, it does say I'm on Steam all the time. I'm not playing games that much as I would like to be playing games that much. So
Tom,
all that being said, thank you guys for being here. Good discussion. It was a good year for games. 2017 was kind of awesome. So that's a good thing, a good place to be. So again, thank you guys for being here. Thank you for your support. We appreciate it a ton. And for everybody else who's supporting us through Patreon, which you can see the options for that, go to gaminguncensored.com. Click on that Patreon link there at the top of the page. If you're interested in participating on the roundtable or doing some other stuff there, you can do that. If you're just listening to the show, just hanging out with us, if we're hanging out with you while you're commuting or running or whatever you're doing right now, that's awesome, and we appreciate you listening and just being part of the show. Feel free to get a hold of us, though. You can get a hold of us on Facebook or Twitter. Links for those over at the website gaminguncensored.com. Email is gaminguncensored@gmail.com. Voicemail line is
509-GAME-210. That's 509-GAME-210. It will cut you off after 3 minutes, but call us back and keep talking, and we will splice it together.
Yeah, it's a good way to participate as well. So come hang out with us, because we're having a good time. So,
and we also have to mention, thanks to Cabbage, he gave us is games of the year, and we didn't even mention
them. Oh, we did, yes.
So let's throw those in real quick, because he wanted Carvage, to be
unfortunately,
here.
Couldn't be here, but he did give us his three, which were, his number one was Divinity Original Sin 2, which he talked about on the roundtable a couple of shows back, that he really, really digs. And so apparently, and did a very good job of selling us on, just we haven't gotten to it yet, but he digs that one. And then Horizon was 2 and Breath of the Wild was 3. And so he actually had a Horizon above Breath of the Wild and then played them both. So that's a little bit of a departure from us. But Breath of the Wild and Horizon were obviously big deals. They dominated this show and are dominating other shows as well. Two awesome, awesome games. By the way, it just dawned on me, we didn't talk about anything on the Xbox One, really.
I was about the same thing crossed my mind. I was about to say that. It was a bad year for Microsoft exclusives.
Yeah. Like, they just didn't have the exclusives. Some of the really good games that came out, you could play on the Xbox One. But none of the games that are the best games of the year were Xbox exclusives or Microsoft Windows as well. Interesting note of 2017. It was a great year in gaming that apparently wasn't awesome for Microsoft. So,
and bummer, I think, guys. But I think it might be just us that feels that way, because I will say, you know, I'm going to a computer shop doing IT crap during the week now, which is annoying. It really cuts into my time, but hey, it's a job. And so I'm hanging around people, and a Christmas present was brought into my office, and it was not an Xbox One X. It was an Xbox One S. And
nice.
I said to the person, why didn't you buy that? And they said, this is what my kid wanted. And I said, does he have a 360? And she said, yes. And he asked for the 1S. And so, again, on the list of things that we don't get that other people may get, the Xbox may be it, because I have no desire to own one other than for Media Box. I want one for Media Box, but that's it.
Yeah. If you don't have a PC, I can see the draw. But I don't think it's just us, because none of the games we talked about, even like from the Game Awards, are Microsoft games. Like, they just didn't have anything big this year. I mean, we saw that at E3. They're showing off this super console. They didn't really have games to show off on it, which was a bummer. But it just didn't. So we'll see if 2018 becomes the year of Microsoft, because it wasn't 2017. Or we'll see what happens with Microsoft going forward, if they get into Nintendo status while Nintendo is killing it. So anyway, 2018 will be interesting, and we will be there soon. So for right now, we're going to end this show. Again, thank you guys for being here. We are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.